Okay, good evening, everyone. So I want to discuss a few more specific points in these halachas of Ma'aseh Kesafim. One of the reasons I wanted to go into this topic is it's very nogei, and one of the ways I know it's very nogei is because there were so many shilas. If I had to classify or categorize the the topics in which shilas come in, Ma'aseh Kesafim is way up there, and so. But Baruch Hashem, now most of the shilas we've covered already in the past weeks. There's still a few more things to do, and probably what we'll do is continue this for another couple of weeks or so and try to hit a couple of more main points, and then maybe towards the end of the Zman do some minyanim of the 3 weeks for a week or two or so, and we'll see what to do again when we resume in Elul, Bez Hashem. Okay, the first question is, what is the halach if a person is employed by a Torah Tikka Mosad, which is a Mosad that's could receive, one could donate money to that Mosad and count it as Meiser, but you're employed by that Mosad, and they're requiring it of you. They're saying that this is your salary, but you're only going to see 90% of it, because 10% of it, which is you have to give Meiser anyway, we are going to save you the trouble of writing out a check, and we are going to keep the Meiser. Or there are a couple of possibilities. One is that way that you won't even see the money. Another way is they'll give you the money, but it's basically a tznai kafol, meaning it's a condition, a stipulation of employment that you give meister back to them. And it could be a person working for such a place, or it could be a person learning in a yeshiva or a kollel where they require this of him. So is that legitimate? Meaning is that a legitimate usage? Do you get Meiser credit for that? Is it considered that you gave Meiser Kesafim in that situation? Whether, again, the case is that you're being compelled to give. If you want to work for us, if you want to learn this kollel, this is the understanding that 10% of your would-be paycheck is we keep as Meiser. It sounds like a good plan for them. Okay, so a number of us could talk about this. For the most part, I didn't see. Original sources, meaning most of his quotes. There is a tshuva, and the tshuva is from Hanukkah from Rav Sternbach on this topic, but that I'm not going to be saying over. If you want, you can take a look. It's in the first Chelik Simon Tavkuf Ayin Hey. The other information is mostly quotes that the different Sfarim bring down. So they bring, for example, the Sefer Baruch Tzedaka. He brings from Rabbi Yashiv that says, no, that's not Meiser. You don't get Meiser credit for that. And so why not? So he doesn't really explain there, but maybe we'll go back. He brought from Shlomo Zalman also that a very exact same thing with the person the most was master with him. If you want, we'll hire you, but this is part of the stipulations. So Shlomo Zalman said you can't count it as Meiser because that's considered like you're doing schaira with Meiser money. Which your personal schara. I'm taking Meiser money and I'm doing business with it. Meaning, in order for me to further my parnasa, I see a job opportunity. But in order to get the job opportunity, they say, okay, we'll hire you for the job if you give us your Meiser. So I'm choosing, or I would be agreeing to give Meiser to this place so that I could get a job and I can make money. So that's called you're doing business. That's like investing Meiser money for your own personal benefit, which you can't do. We mentioned last week that if you did that by mistake, let's say by the case of the lottery, by the case of the raffle, if a person bought a raffle ticket with Meiser money, according to the poskim who say that that it's supposed to belong, it belongs to Meiser if you do it. But if a person did it without being aware, he put it with sole intention of keeping keeping the the prize himself if he earns it. So he said it could be there that he's not allowed to keep it, because if a person steals money and he invests money for himself and he makes money, he keeps the profits. He owes the Karen back to the person he stole from, but he doesn't have to give him the profits. So if a person did this, if a person did schar with ma'aser money, he doesn't necessarily have to give the money over to tzedakah, but you're not allowed to go to l'chachila. You can't go ahead, and therefore, as Rav Shlomo Zalman said, then you don't have a right to take such a job and count it to ma'aser. If you want to give that amount, 10% of your income, which to them, fine, but you won't get ma'aser credit for it. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman said.
If you choose to give it, if it's not a condition when you get hired.
Yeah, so that's fine. If you choose, and even I would say, even if there is some degree of pressure, meaning they strongly recommend that you do that, but that's okay, and that might even be the right thing to do. Well, especially it depends where. I mean, if you're just a regular employee, you're putting in, you're putting in a full day's work, and you're getting a normal. A normal salary, so love Davka that you should have an obligation to give them your ma'aser. So if you choose to find it, if you're learning in a kollel, then it's probably a right thing to do. At least maybe not all of your ma'aser, but maybe not all of your ma'aser in general. Maybe all of your ma'aser from the kollel check, or at least a significant amount. That's proper to do. But so they may recommend it. They may tell you that they consider it proper, but as long as they're not mechayiv you, and you'll get your salary anyway, you're not going to get fired, they're not going to let you go, and they're going to pay you the full amount if you don't do it, then it's okay. We're talking about where you don't have a choice. If you want to work here or you want to learn here, then this is the understanding that they keep 10%. That's where. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said that's considered doing business, and Rabbi Yashiv also is quoted as saying that. That it's not okay to do that. He does bring down in the Sefer that Rav Scheinberg was Mekel. So I was thinking perhaps the pshat would be that it's very maybe just secondary or just a minor part. They're not hard when they look for employees. Their main criteria of employment is not who's going to give us their ma'aser money. They're looking for a person who's qualified, who has the skills that they need, and etc. It meets the job description, and then they say, "Okay, but if you want to do it, we're telling you have to give us your ma'aser." So maybe he says, "Okay, so I'm not. The fact that I have to do it is not like I'm going out and investing my ma'aser money in some some hedge fund or whatever it is to make money for myself in the stock market. I'm not doing that. I'm getting a job in this place because I'm qualified for the job and everything else stims." And then they say, "By the way, one of the things we require of our employees, I know this is someone who requires of him, he's a nursing home owner, and requires of his employees that they commit to learn night seder at night." Obviously, he's from or Jewish from whatever. That's stipulation. Now, he doesn't get anything out of any money, but that he wants it's a way of doing kiruv and habasa satara. So you want to work here, you have to commit yourself to learn, I don't know, whatever amount of time, learn night seder at night. That's great.
This story, the ma'aser actually happened, or just the theoretical?
This, I think it's more theoretical. I think, what is that?
Yeah. It was an investment firm on Wall Street, Bear Stearns. The guy who started it was Jewish. And every person who worked in the company had to give 10% of their money to ma'aser, from him down to the mailroom.
To some, but not to the company, obviously.
He suggested to give it to JNF, Jewish National Fund. It's just a suggestion, but you could give it to anybody. Okay. And they never lost money for like 30-something years. And then he retired, or whatever happened, somebody else took over. 2008, 2009.
Okay, so
but they never lost money when they were.
That's very good. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine, because there you're just saying if you want to work for this company, you have to commit yourself to do something which is maybe it's not a chiyuv gamur like we learned at the beginning, but it's a hanhaga tova ma'od. It's a minig in Yisrael, and it's very proper to do. And he's not saying we have to give it or anything like that. He's not. So you're not doing. So you just mechayev yourself to do this. It's a hanhaga tova.
I was wondering why it's not. Why, but it's not the same. I mean, you want this job, you must do X, Y, or Z.
give Maaser. That's all. No, because what's the choice? Elamai, what's the choice? I won't give it. So then that's better. How could that be called doing Schar with my Maaser money? I'm only getting the job if I agree to give Maaser. So okay. So what if I don't get the job? Then what's the other choice? Not giving Maaser. That's not called doing Schar.
Because I have a chiz anyway. That's the reason. Meaning because that chiz exists anyway.
Or even if it doesn't, but I'm just agreeing to give. I'm not selecting where to give. There's nothing wrong with compelling yourself to do a mitzvah, to do a ma'aser tov. Nothing wrong with that. I'm entitled to give my money away to ma'aser. In fact, I'm more than entitled. It's highly recommended. It's a minig, you know, minig Yisrael. If I have to give it to a specific place, that means this kollel, this yeshiva is only going to hire me if I give them my ma'aser. That means I'm taking my ma'aser and I'm buying a job from this yeshiva. I'm taking the ma'aser that I'm anyway giving, that I was mechayim myself, or that I was knowing to give, and I'm buying a job. Here, let's say a person never gave ma'aser and he applies for a job in this firm, and I say, fine, but you have to start giving ma'aser. So they say, so how could it be usher? Say, if it's usher, say no, and then I'm sorry, my rabbi said I can't, so I won't take the job and not give ma'aser. So
you have to give job ma'aser anyway, but okay. It's the same schur.
So then what's wrong with taking the job? Because I agreed to give ma'aser? I mean, it's not cool doing schur. I'm not doing schur with the ma'aser. I'm by taking this job, I'm just being it's an added chiyuv to do this proper thing. It's only if I'm earmarking, I'm giving. I would like normally I would spread it out, or I give it to different places. I might think of different places more, and I'm saying no, I will use it to buy a job. That's okay.
So if a shul says you'll only be part of the shul if you give 50% of your tzedakah to the charity fund of the shul for an year, that would also not be a problem either. There is a shul that would say like that you have to give a certain percentage to the shul charity fund.
But that's not really. I don't think that's really schar. Joining the shul is not really schar. Yeah. You want to be a member of this shul. That this is. I think the oyster and aser in both cases. That's what it sounded like. Of course, if they deduct the money, it's that much worse because you're not even doing anything. You're lacking even the mitzvah of, or the pu'ula, or the hashpah that it has when you give it. But it sounds like from the quotes that the oyster and aser even in the other case. Okay, next shaila, which on the surface I thought originally wasn't even a shaila. And it really isn't such a big shaila. It seems, but we'll see. And there's, what happens if you borrow money? If you borrow money, do you have to give ma'aser from the money you borrowed? I assume my gut reaction was, why? Of course not. Why should I give money? It's money I borrowed. I have to give it back. I'm not gaining anything here. Just I'm buying time. I mean, I'm buying the use of the money, but I'm not getting the money. The money doesn't become mine. And that is the way most, again, what I saw brought down, most of the posts can look at it that way. Well, Yashiv said like that, you're not mechuyev to give on that. And they bring for many, many gedolim who said that way, that you're not mechuyev to give. The Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat also says that way. And he's been daiged also from a tshuva in the Shelas Yavitz, from the Yavitz already, that.
Including the daily profit you have.
Wait, I'm sorry, say that again?
Is that including the daily profit you have from that money? So let's say if you borrowed $100, you made $2 that day from interest or whatever investments. Also, for that, you're not going to have to give?
No, of course you will. What do you mean? If you invest, I borrow money and invest it, then of course. Oh, sure. Of course, I'm not giving the money. The investment is my gain, so of course I have to give like any other gain. I have to give myself. But I'm doing the keren, which I have to eventually give back to the person I borrowed it from. So that's not a gain. That's what most poskim are saying. Said Rav Yashin, the Tzedakah Mishpat, Rishmul Arbach is quoted, many, many are. There is a tshuva, however.
What is the logic behind the other poskim that say that you have to give?
Okay, so far they haven't even been named, but there is a tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Arbach where he says, and this is actually written. It's not just a quote. It's at least I saw in a couple of Swarm bring down parts of a letter that he wrote to someone. The name is, it doesn't say to who he wrote it to. They left out the name, but where he's mechalik whether you borrowed the money for business, for investment, or you borrowed for personal use. So if you borrowed for business, then you don't have to. If you borrowed it in order to earn money, then you have to give on. That's not considered a gain at all. In fact, if anything, that's just, I took upon myself a chov, especially if I borrowed it with interest. Let's say I borrowed it from a non-Jew and I'm paying interest. Then if anything, it's a chov, at least at this stage, or even if I borrowed from a yid with a heter iska. So, but in either case, if you borrowed it for business, he says you're not mechuyev to take meiser from the money. But if you borrowed for personal use, you borrowed if you pay your groceries, or your grocery bill, or to buy a couch or whatever. He says that it is, in one place it sounds like he's saying it is a strong suggestion. Other place it sounds like it may hell yichayv that you should meiser the money. Mice of the money that you borrow, because you are gaining the money, maybe not as a permanent gain, but right now you have gained $100. You have full use, full shlita. It's ke'ilu, which at this point is ke'ilu, it's yours, and therefore you should take mice from that money. And then he says, when you pay back, so then they're different schos, but it all amounts the same way. Either he says in one place, he says you pay back from money that's not meiser, meaning when you earn, let's say you borrowed $100 to buy the whatever it is. So when you earn $100, you could take that $100 without meisering it and use it to pay off the chov. So basically, you're paying yourself back instead of taking meiser off the $100 that you earned that day and then having to pay back the chov with 90 of it and then come up with another $10. No, you could use the full $100. Unmeisered to pay off the chov. Or the other way he says it is, it comes out the same thing, that when you pay back, then we look at it like a hefset. You know, you had $100 gain, and now you had $100 loss. So $100 gain, you were chayiv in $10 meiser, but now you had $100 loss, so you pay yourself back the $10 meiser. So it amounts to the same thing. The only point is, Rosh Hashanah Zalman is saying, he's at least recommending that it is proper to meiser it. Kol zman you're using it, it should be ma'usar, and then you'll settle the score with your notebook when you pay it back, rather than looking at it the way the other poskim seem to be, that it's not even called a gain to begin with. A temporary gain is not a gain. In fact, he brings here in this Baruch Zaka that Rabbi Yashua sort of responded with a smile and said, I also got him to smile once, by the way. I saw Rabbi Yashua smile and said something. He responded with, but tell you later what it was, but he said, Rabbi Yashua smiled. He says, you don't have to take ma'aser. He says, this is, of course, assuming that you intend to pay it back. So if you're not going to pay it back, then yeah, you have to ma'aser it. And which Agav, he said this, but Agav, I did see, if a person got ribis, so from a yid, obviously if you got interest from it, you lent money to a non-Jew and you're allowed to collect ribis, and you got, so then that's like any other profit. But even if you got ribis from a yid, so if it's ribis ketsutza, we learned about ribis some time back, ribis ketsutza, I mean it was agreed upon, Meirosh, etc., and then you have to give it back, the ribbis. But if for some reason you can't, then you have to take meiser. If you end up keeping the ribbis, you have to give meiser from it. And if it's ribbis to Rabbanan, where I'll pay, you know, avak ribbis, where bidei odom you don't have to give it back. It's not bidei shemayim, you're supposed to give it back. But if bidei odom you don't, or certain types of ribbis to Rabbanan, you don't even have to give back, let's say, sidei shemayim, even though it was wrong to take it, but avada, once you took it, you have to give meiser from that, those earnings. So, okay, but assuming you're going to give back the loan, you pay back the loan, so it seems Rabbi Yashiv and most poskim don't look at it like a gain at all. And in fact, I saw the way he brings it down, a number of Rabbanim, like with Matzmi and Rav Shlomo Zalman, like why look at it the way he does, that it's a gain and later it's a loss. But Al-Kapanim, that's the answer. That's the only one I saw who's Mechayev, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Rabbah held that you should do it, and you pay back. You say pay yourself back at the end. Maybe as an incentive to help make sure you pay back, to pay back the loan. I don't know. You know, especially if it's $100, okay, it's not the biggest incentive. But if you borrow $10,000 or something,
it's hard to calculate if you pay it monthly.
Say again.
It's hard to keep calculating if you're paying it monthly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. It could be done. Big businessman can do it. I'm sure. Okay.
If somebody borrows $10,000 for a wedding, $2,000 off the top.
Why two?
Give 20%.
Okay, you're already ahead of the game.
Okay.
I mean, it does say, I mean, assuming you could afford it. I mean, if he's borrowing the money because he mamish needs it to cover whatever expenses, and he's only borrowing, you know, he doesn't want to borrow more than he needs to, or it's hard to. So yeah, if he can't afford to do it, then he doesn't have to do it. But
okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about a person who could afford to do it, of course. Okay. Next, Shiloh, is what about insurance payments? A person collects insurance for. We'll see one of a number of things. Let's say Khalil, a person who suffers some damage, property damage, or even you know, personal damage, whatever it is, and he's insured. He has insurance to cover for this, and he gets a payment from insurance. So a number of farms say that it's Daku Mishpat for one, and so another a few of the other farms that. Person does not have to take meiser from that money, money which is just compensating him for his loss. Meaning, let's not talk about personal injury first. Let's talk about property loss. He had property damage, and he collected the amount of the damage. They compensated him for, you know, they came down, assessed the loss. It doesn't seem to me, from what I've heard, it doesn't usually work this way. Usually they pay like five times more. But let's say they assess the damage, and they pay him for exactly what the damages were. So then he does not have to take meiser for it. And even though... No, even another. That's just considered that he's mean. It's tashlume hezek, and not that he's necessarily everyone's entitled to it. I mean, people suffer loss, damage, property damage, and they don't get paid back, and it's just a loss. But even so, if you are fortunate enough to get paid back, it's not considered profit. It's not considered a gain, and that's not subject to the Hilchos Maaser. If you got more. No, legitimately, you have more, and whatever cheshbonus they have, they decide to pay you back more. So then you do have to take maaser from the extra, whatever is above the amount that's just compensating you for your loss. By personal injury, so there it says if a person's compensated for tsar. He suffered the pain and the stress, and that he has to meiser. That's considered a gain, although it may be, in some sense, the cheshbon is made with how much he suffered, and how they're paying him, they're making a cheshbon of how much his suffering is worth. But that's not a pure business cheshbon, and that's not a dollar for dollar thing. I don't want to do it with compensation. It's a payment. It's since you suffered, you'll get this. You bought insurance, so that the poskim say one would have to take ma'aser from. But not if it's to pay cover medical expenses. If he's getting money to pay for medical expenses, and again, then that's a direct loss that he's just filling in. That he would not have to ma'aser. But if it's extra money, as I said, to compensate him for whatever type of emotional or physical pain he suffered, which is not something that he's treating, or he's getting an amount beyond the amount that he's paying for treatments, then that he would take meiser from. Now,
that's even if he would hypothetically rather not have that trauma or whatever. And I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, meiser, yeah. If he's not getting, right?
I believe so. Yes, yes. This comes also from a. From Shlomo Zalman in one of the volumes of the Kovetz called Kol Torah, Lama Tess, he writes like this that he would take Maaser from. Okay, in general, of course, if a person is has a business and he's insuring his business, he pays insurance premiums. So that's like any other business expense, and that would come off the top of it, come off his profits. Right? You know, his business profited X, but he has. Discussed in the past, and something I think I want to go back to maybe in the next couple of weeks, some other interesting pratim within this. But in a general sense, person has business expenses, so in order to make the amount of money that he made over the course of the year from his business, he had certain expenses, so those come off the top, so insurance premiums would be included in that. There's one more detail though, just I want to this that I said that that I said over from the poskim that if a person gets insurance pays him back more, talking about for property damage, but they compensate him more than the damage he suffered. So he said he does have to take meiser from the difference, but he could first deduct what his premiums. Now at least for that year, in other words, typically meiser is in a year. We said it's a yearly cheshbon. Certainly a person who's in business and he has more than one business. So we said he makes a yearly cheshbon of all his profits from between what he earned in this business and that business, including the stock market if he has stocks. And so it all he should kovei his man once a year, if not more often, but at least once a year when he makes a cheshbon of how much he profited, how much he lost, or in business, and he gives meiser. Assuming he comes out ahead, he gives meiser from the amount that he gained. So here too, he could definitely deduct the insurance payments that it cost him. So notice the Enichanami insurance company gave him an extra $10,000 over the property of what his property was damaged, but he's been paying premiums. So for sure, the premiums for the year, the mashmos I saw somewhere it sounded like he could take off premiums since he started the policy, which I'm not sure. It wasn't explained, but I'm not sure exactly why that should be, why he should be allowed to take off old premiums if we could understand this year's cheshbon. So in order to get, it's this year's gain. He suffered his property was damaged, a $5,000 damage, and they gave him $10,000, so he netted $5,000 there, but he's paid in the course of this year, a certain amount. He paid $1,000 in premiums, whatever. So that, deduct that. But I don't really understand why he should be able to deduct premiums forever. I mean, if he does that, in most cases, probably he's not going to end up paying a penny to Meiser, because, depending, of course.
That's not to be the start, because the way that the insurance companies work is goofed up based on those numbers, meaning if you look at it over the course of 20 years, so they'll pay back a certain amount of money over the course of 20 years, Mistama, but they'll also take a certain amount of money. So it's a business venture that's not really a yearly business venture, it's a 20-year business venture.
But that's their business. That's why they're a business, right? That's why they make money and how they make money. But it really has nothing to do with my mitzvah meiser. My mitzvah meiser is that what I spend this year comes off the amount of money I earned this year.
That money was already deducted.
What, last year's premiums?
Yes, when he paid the last...
Okay, but last year I lost. Last year, Baruch Hashem, I lost. I paid $5,000 to Meiser and they had no damage. Baruch Hashem, I'm happy. So it was a $5,000 loss, but that's it.
Retroactively deducting previous years. It was already deducted.
What do you mean? Oh, it was deducted from...
Of the insurance.
But deducted from what? What do you mean? If it was a business insurance.
Yes,
it was business.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, there. But let's say this person, the guy has insurance on his house. He has no business. He's just insurance on his house or car, whatever, collision insurance, this type of thing. Some sort of property, homeowner's insurance. And it's not a business thing, so he's not deducting it from anything. He just, except from his checkbook. He's not from his bank account. That's all. He's not deducting it from his Meiser Cheshbon. You can't write, you wouldn't take off from your Meiser Cheshbon. But this year when I collected on the policy, and I collected more than I lost, so I said I have to miser the difference. So for that, I'm saying you could take off what it cost you this year to earn this extra $5,000 insurance payment. I had to pay $1,000 in premiums, so that I could take off $1,000. But I'm not sure why you should be able to take off the previous year's payments. That's what I'm saying. Okay, now. So now, want to discuss the following. And this will touch on one of the early topics. We discussed whether you could use Meiser money, I think it was 2 weeks ago, for mitzvahs. Mitzvahs which aren't absolute chiyuvim, or those which are. We said that almost all the sforim say you can't buy yourself an estrog with Meiser money. Maybe hidur beyond the hidur that you're chayiv in. We said beyond, hidur mitzvah at shlish. So if you want to be mahadur more than a shlish, so that many say it's machlokes, but that many say you could take the difference for Meiser, but you can't pay for the basic estrog for Meiser and not even the first level of Hidur, which you're really supposed to pay, Hidur Mitzvah Shlish, you don't take from Meiser, or whatever, you buy yourself a pair of tefillin, again, without getting into Durim, but the basic price for these mitzvahs, talis, tefillin, mezuzah, you don't take from Meiser. Whereas we discussed certain other mitzvahs which aren't absolute chiyuvim, or maybe not chiyuvim at all, but you're doing anyway, so then there is more of a permissibility. We discussed different cases. So the question is, what about travel expenses for various Maisa mitzvah? And so I saw in this forum discuss a number of them. One I did not see, one which is a shaila, which was asked to me, and I did not see, and I'll tell you right away, but I'll maybe bring that one last and tell you what I think. Let's say a person is traveling to go give a shiur. She was asked to give a shiur somewhere in a different city, and
because
there's no airport nearby, because it's just quicker. I mean, there's a private donor that probably paid for it.
Quicker. Half an hour,
4 hours. Okay, so the yeshiva probably had a private donor, or maybe private helicopter owner. Wouldn't be shocked if. Okay, but let's leave that out. Let's say you're driving to Boca Raton to give a shiur, and the gas costs money. That's not nothing. Or you take a train or whatever it is like that, and you're not getting paid. Not talking about a person who's paid to speak. So first of all, he gets his travel costs compensated. But even if he doesn't, if they say no flat fee, paying you for your speech, this is the flat fee, and you make your own way here. So then that's just a business expense. You would take it off the top when you give miser from the guy. The speaker got $10,000 for going to speak, so he could subtract. He didn't profit $10,000 because it cost him $500 to fly back and forth. So he would take that off the top, but he can't count that towards his money. He can't get $500 miser credit. He just $500 off his miser, of what he owes to miser. What $500 what he has to miser from. But let's say he's not going for free. He's not getting paid anything. So that's number one. Yes. So that they bring for a missing Karelis that he could take. He could take that from miser because it's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. You can't say he must do that. Kohelis says, right? So Shomri is now kol mashiyesh biyad chalasos asay kein maisa v'cheshbon v'chachma v'das mishalosh haTorah. You have to do everything you can do, but there's no way of exactly quantifying that and saying, yeah, you could travel to do this year, you must. So that's an, like, let's call it an extra, whatever. That's the type of mitzvah you could take. So you could pay for the gas if necessary, or pay for the travel with maisa money. Same thing, a similar thing I saw with Kirav Chokim. The person's going to do Kirav Chokim, then he could also use Maisa money. I saw a shot in two places. Let's say a person is learning in a kolo, and he's going out to Kirav Chokim, but it's on kolo time, and they're not going to pay him. They'll allow him to go, but then he's not going to get his kolo check for that, whatever, that week or that amount of time that he's going to the Kirav Chokim. Maybe that one Seder, I don't know, depends on how how tight the kolo is. He's not getting paid for that, so it says that he cannot deduct that from, he can't take that off of Meiser. Right? He can't say, I would have, let's say he's giving up $100 of a kolo check. He can't say, okay, Meiser, you just paid $100. That's a loss. That's not, you could pay for things with Meiser, but you can't compensate your losses. I saw that in a couple of Sfarim. I think Rabbi Yaakov, I think, says like that, a couple of Sfarim. But for the actual traveling expenses, you can. What about if a person is traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he's a pilot trip. He's thinking of moving to Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So it's hard to say that every single person is mechuyev to get up and go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a whole other topic. We should talk about Yishev Eretz Yisrael. But obviously, if you look around this room and the kol and the community and the country, obviously there must be valid justification for not everybody getting up and moving to Eretz Yisrael right now. So if a person decides he wants to do it, he's going to look into doing it. So they bring from Shlomo Zalman, the Sefer Baruch Tzaka brings that he can take the expenses, he can take buys a ticket to go to Israel in order to check out the feasibility of moving there and try to find a place to live, etc., etc. He can take that off Meiser. He writes that he brings that the what it costs him for food and board, things like that, expenses which he would have had back home, he can't take off. Now, I imagine probably the expenses are more, unless he has relatives to stay by. If he's staying in a hotel, it's probably going to cost a lot more than if he's staying at home. But whatever expenses he would have had, whatever food costs and other costs he would have had at home, he has to deduct, has to make that cheshbon. But whatever he's paying beyond that for the traveling and everything else, he could take from Isa money. And the kids can what you were saying. L'chara, he didn't bring this, but L'chara, he pushed it when he actually gets up and moves, and he has a lot of expenses in moving, besides the trip itself, the shipping, all the stuff. L'chara, that should be, because if we're not going to say that the mitzvah moving to Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah you can take off of Maisa, so then why should the trip there? To the fact that you're just going to visit that, not, I'll get your question in one second if you're not. The fact that you're going to visit that, he says you can't. Hagam is in the Halicha Shlomo, Kamat Zichr, he brings there that even anytime you travel to Eretz Yisrael is considered a mitzvah, and he says, Ad Kadei Kach, that you could even travel on Tisha B'Av. He says you can travel not in this another 9 days, but you can travel on Tisha B'Av to Eretz Yisrael, even if you're just going for a visit, because it's always a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael, even Amanas Lashav, even for a visit. But assuming that both Pesachim are Yatzah Mipi Oso Gain, assuming that they're both accurate quotes, so I guess you would say, fine, it's a mitzvah, and you could travel on Tisha B'Av, but that's not the type of a mitzvah that you could take already from Maisa Mari. It doesn't come to that bar. But if you're moving to Eretz Yisrael, So if you could take the expenses of the pilot trip, Lachara, who I didn't know, maybe Kalsha came for the actual move. I just promised to take his question.
So moving to Eretz Yisrael wouldn't be considered a chiyuv, but it would still be enough of a mitzvah to be able to deduct your chaser?
Yes, that's what I was saying. Right? It's not because there's so many cheshbonos for a person to move, and to say that a person like mamash mechuyev to move, it's hard to say that.
If you wanted to visit your parents for kibbutz avim.
Oh, so that was the shaila I was asked. Just as I was starting this limud, the parents said, okay, I said, great, let me get back to you. I'm Amish looking into this stuff a lot. This is one of the great shailas. And to this day, I have not found anyone who addresses it head on, though we will in a minute, hopefully. I even looked, I finally, I keep telling myself, look in the Kibbutz Avim svarim. Maybe I tried last night, I have a number of svarim because we learned Kibbutz Avim here a few months ago. Couldn't find the Kibbutz Avim svarim, I couldn't find Etzo for anybody. Now, usually when I say this, somebody comes, some people show me like five marmakomas later. So I'm fine. It's okay. You have five marmakomas or even one, I'll be happy to see them. But I couldn't find it, and not in the svarim that a nice announcement give it a aim. But Lachara, I think that, yes, you can. It's not a pashut, but I think you could take that from Meiser, because first of all, it's not, the person who asked me has parents that are, I don't know if they might, I'm not sure exactly how they're on the elderly side, I believe, and they're not so well, unfortunately. They both have serious health issues. So he goes now from time to time, like a monthly or so, to give them chiyuv, to help them with whatever, and just be mechazik them, etc. So it's a big mitzvah. Could we say he's mechuyiv? Yes, you are mechuyiv to travel every month. I don't know. Maybe he's mechuyiv to travel every week. Maybe he should move there. Or maybe he doesn't have to go more than once in 6 months. There's no way to be magdir exactly what his chiyuv is to visit his parents. But it's definitely a big mitzvah, so that's number one. And number two, it does say kibbutz av is mishel av. Technically speaking, a parent, even if your father calls you up and says, "Can you do me a favor, please run to the grocery and pick me up XYZ," or run to the, I called in an order at the pizza shop, could you go pick up the pizza? You have a mitzvah deraisa, and if you're able to do it, it's a mitzvah chiyuv deraisa, machil mashkeu, to go bring you part of the pizza. But you don't have to pay for it. If you get there and they say, "Hey, this isn't paid for, where are you going?" Not pay for it. What do you mean? My father's supposed to pay. Say so your father is supposed to pay for it. But now, if he doesn't, okay. Well, so this famous a story with Reb Chaim Brisker about a person who went to. It's the Reb Chaim. My parents live. This, obviously back in Europe. My parents live in such and such a town, and I know I should go visit them and the proper thing. But my father's really not, and they'd like me to come, but my father's not offering the money. So, for the train ticket or whatever, or for the carry, he's not offering the money. So I don't have to pay for it, Rabbi, is that correct? So Reb Chaim said, of course that's correct. You could go by foot. So I think he was telling him that if your father's not paying because, first of all, do it anyway. If you can afford to, do it anyway. Especially if your father's not paying because he can't really afford it. He can't afford it. So is it an inyan? But the etzem, what I'm saying, so that makes it a mitzvah, but it doesn't make it a chi of mamish. So sadrab, I think for sure that the person could take the money, could take it from Meiser to do this mitzvah, because as I say, it's not an absolute, defined, specific chi of. It's a tremendous chi of mitzvah, but not a defined chi of mitzvah, and B, because even if it isn't defined chi of mitzvah, it really is mishalav, and especially if his father's talking, if his parents aren't paying because they can't afford, they'd be happy to pay him, but they themselves, I don't know the situation, but if they're somewhat needy, then adrab, then he's paying one of their chiyuvim. They owe him money, then he's paying.
Is there like a formula for mitzvahs in general? Is there mitzvahs that you would be able to do?
For Meiser? So he said mitzvahs that are mamish chiyuvim. Like buying an esrog tefillin, things like that. We spoke at length about tuition for your child. There's a whole shy like that, but pashas, the basic tuition of Talmud Torah, you can't, because at least for Tarshav Iksav, because that you have to pay for Tarshav Iksav. Yeah, things that you mamish have a chiyuv to pay for, to do and even pay for, you can't take from myself.
On the trip to Israel, yes. Like staying in a hotel, I'm saying, I assume. If he stays in a five, he could stay in a very.
No, of course. If he's staying in an extra place just for his own personal comfort, then okay, has to be honest.
So whatever's normal.
Whatever would be, would make it that he won't leave with a bad time. One more case that I did find is traveling to to go to one's Rebbe or to a tzaddik or someone you can go to make a trip to see somebody in order to be mechazik yourself in your shemayim. You're not going so that you can come back with a picture that, look, this is me and tzaddik so and so going so and so. It's not the reason you're going. You might come back with a picture, but that's not why you're going. You're going in order to learn from him, to get chizik from this person. Then it says you can take it from my
sip. Tzaddikim in Europe.
Kivrei Tzadikim.
Those are expensive trips.
You're on the next plane out. Big day for Meiser. I don't know. I mean, it's a mitzvah to daven in Kivrei Tzadikim, but is it
inspiration? You said.
Say it again.
Inspiration.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about a living tzaddik who, you know, sits there, you know, and is bechazik you in your shemayim, especially you have specific
shaylos. The speakers that come, they're the living tzaddik.
Say that again? Speakers.
That's a living
tzaddik. Yeah, but you could probably. Right, but you could probably get one of these devices and get 500, you know, chizuk speeches from that same person for a fraction of the cost. I don't know about that because what I was about to say is this Sefer Baruch Tzedakah who brings down most, he does say these types of things in mamish lefi. The kavana, a person has to. You have to know why are you going in? What is? Are you? Is that really your kavana? Is that really what you're going to walk away for? Is that sort of secondary? That you're really going for? You know, you want to be able to say, I went to he's not living anymore, but Chaim Kanievsky, who didn't want to say that he spoke to Chaim Kanievsky, and he asked him a shiloh, he got his bro, whatever, you know, and there are others. You know. So if that's the thing, then that's not what we're talking about. To go to the person and coming away with that you're going Amanas, maybe you have this specific thing to discuss that you need chizik and that type of thing. So to go to kibbutz, so they can, I don't know, I'm not saying no, but I think it's much more of a tzarich. And I'll just end with this for now. At the risk of being saying something controversial, but in the Sefer Pnine Tfila, which is a Sefer of collected psalm of Rabbi Yasha on Inyani Tfila, was written by I think by Rabbi Ben Sion, quote. I believe he's the one who put it out. And so it brings there the person went to Rabbi Yashman and said his daughter's going to go to his daughter's looking for a shidduch, and she's going to go to one of the known places where girls go to daven for in herself for a shidduch. So Rabbi Yashman said very nice, but he was sort of like asking why doesn't she go down by the castle. So she said, oh yeah, she daven's playing by the castle, but she's going to go there also. So she said, well, if she has time to daven twice, why shouldn't she go to the coastal twice? So he said the best place in the world to daven is the coastal. Kivrei Tzadikim is a gedder of like it's Me'ain the Shechina. The coastal is that's the closest thing to Shechina on this earth. So Rashi said, like, if you're telling me she's going, because to hate, she should be Mizbarach and she should have a Slach Rabbah. If you're asking me what to do, let her go to the coastal. And whatever time she has to put it to davening,
so
do it.
Can you challenge her and go to the coastal and take her on the measure?
I love Davka. I wasn't saying that. Just saying that if you know that it's the most right place to daven, but you know, love Davka to in these things. Okay, we'll hold it for now. And
the same thing.